Hoorah! Or as the colonel would say, hoo-ah. No matter how you choose to say it, we're all on the same team. Frontlines of Freedom really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military, if desired, which about one of every three do. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degrees, graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this just might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we'll be speaking with retired Lieutenant Colonel David Bolgiano about presidential pardons and other possible actions for American military personnel who have been wrongly imprisoned for killing the enemy. Then we'll speak with the leaders of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range who have a special relationship with America's military veterans. Troops, we welcome your comments and questions. Contact us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's a privilege to welcome to the show retired Lieutenant Colonel and JAG officer, Lieutenant Colonel David, a.k.a. Bo Bolgiano. Bo, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thank you, Skip. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, you are longtime friends with Colonel Denny Gillum, and I just talked to him. He's in the airport on his way home right now. But he told me that I should throw you a curveball. So, you know, it's a direct order from a superior officer. So, Colonel, here is your curveball. Colonel, can you start us out with a brief history of the universe?
Yes. God created the universe, and man has done his best to screw it up and be sinful, despite God's blessings. End of story.
You know, and Colonel, that's why you're the colonel and I'm the non-com. That was spot on. Great answer, Colonel. Well, Colonel, we want to talk today about several things. You know, things that are going on in the military as far as law enforcement goes and the military criminal justice system. Clint Lawrence, for one. But before we get into that, Colonel, can you just give us about 30 seconds or so of your military history?
Sure. I started off as a cadet at Loyola University in Baltimore. I was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division and a judge advocate there. I then went on to be a judge advocate with the Special Operations Command Central for two tours in Iraq. I did a tour in Iraq and with the 82nd and then one in Afghanistan with Special Operations Forces. I ended my career as an instructor at the U.S. Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm now medically retired and doing mostly pro bono work for soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marine, and police officers accused as a result of line-of-duty decisions to use force in self-defense.
Wow. Colonel, that is impressive. Quite the resume. Thank you for your service. That's just awesome. Now, Colonel, can you, now right now, you do pro bono work for, you know, American military soldiers. Can you tell us what you're working on right now?
I sure can. The biggest case right now, obviously, is Clint Lawrence's case. I'm part of a legal team that has filed a habeas corpus petition in U.S. federal court to try to undo a wrong committed by military courts in both their handling of the case, failure to disclose exculpatory evidence, and keep this fine young man in prison for doing nothing more egregious than killing two unlawful enemy combatants and wounding a third. And that's the case in a nutshell. And we can talk a little bit more later, but that's the primary focus of what I'm doing now. I'm also testifying and preparing to testify in a few law enforcement cases around the country.
Well, Colonel, is this kind of thing, is it like on the rise? Has this happened more than it used to?
I think so. And my colleagues in this arena do. Since 2002, with ever-increasing yet often specious command obsession over purported civilian casualties, American warriors have been investigated nearly every time they fire shot at the enemy. Now, I will accept it's legally and morally prudent to require accountability for using force, but the sad reality is that the present legal and investigatory standard for assessing each accountability is subjective at best and seems frequently to rise to the level of outright malevolence at worst.
Well, this is Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're speaking with a Lieutenant Colonel Bo Bolgiano. Now, Colonel, how exactly is it determined that someone has committed a war crime?
Well, that is really the essence of the problem. In my view, if somebody's going to assess the legality and efficacy of a soldier at the tip of the spear's decision to use deadly force, either in self-defense or against a designated hostile force, that person who's making that assessment ought to be competent, ought to have moral courage to be seeking justice and exercise self-control. And all four of those cardinal virtues have been missing. And I can give a number of examples of it. If you all saw the movie, I'm sure most of the audience have, American Sniper. There was a scene there near the end where the SEALs were providing counter-sniper coverage to an American brigade out of the 4th Infantry Division that was building a 30-foot wall between Sadr City and the Green Zone. Now, the commander of that brigade kept seeing his soldiers getting shot by unlawful enemy combatants in Sadr City, so he called in the SEAL sniper team that was in the movie. But what was not in the movie is that eventually the SEALs could not find the enemy snipers who were hiding in the shadows. So the brigade commander, after three more of his soldiers got shot, called in his Apache battalion, who fired four Hellfire missiles in an abandoned building and flattened the building, killing the insurgents. Now, in any other war we have fought, it would have been a collective hurrah for that decision. It was a great call. It was tactically and legally correct. However, in this era, 2 weeks later, a Army judge advocate sitting in the cool confines of her trailer inside the Green Zone without demonstrating that competence opined that that was an excessive use of force. That engendered a six-week-long investigation against the colonel by a one-star. The one-star cleared the colonel, but nonetheless, the division commander, because we've grown a generation of risk-averse commanders, gave that brigade commander a letter of reprimand. Now, if we fought any other war, let's look at World War II, with the same degree of incredibly incompetent legal oversight, we'd be speaking German now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are absolutely right. Colonel, it sounds like it's a systemic problem, one that could have been a long time in the making, but it sounds very political to me as well. Is that your analysis?
Oh, it's very political, and it's driven by a number of factors. It is the ability of senior commanders, due to technology of the predators in the sky and all the other intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets we have, to view what's going on at the tactical level, are tempted to substitute their opinions of what is reasonable to that of the soldier at the tip of the spear. This must not happen. That soldier is not looking at a big picture when he's in the fight. He's looking through a straw at a determined enemy, trying to make decisions under a high-stress, risk-critical environment. So we have commanders then are substituting their notions of reasonableness after the fact from the comfort of their tactical operations center. That's problem one. Two, which is a bigger problem, is we have incompetent, for the most part, there's some very good ones who I know and are friends of mine, but for the most part, incompetent, inexperienced judge advocates that don't have the moral courage to say to their commander, hey, sir, stop, or ma'am, stop. The law says you can't substitute your notions of reasonable for the person at the tip of the spear. Instead, they bend over backwards to try to placate the commander. And their problem there is a mistake in the fact that their client is not their commander. Their client is the command, which includes that very soldier at the tip of the spear. And then the third problem is exactly right. Politicians back in D.C. or wherever, unfortunately, a lot of the times now it's NATO, EU, and a bunch of risk-averse cowards that have no concept of how to fight a war, are imposing their will on our warriors to the warriors' detriment, because the politicians who made the decision to send the 82nd Airborne to Afghanistan, they don't go to jail, but Clint Lawrence and the likes of Clint Lawrence do. And yeah, to me, that is cowardly and despicable.
Colonel, I agree with you, and there's a lot more to talk about on this issue, and we want to get into the meat of it when we get back in our next segment. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom, and now it's time to lift some weights. Get on your weight machine or free weights and do some curls and bench presses. 50 of each should do it. But stay in the area. We'll be right back with more from Lieutenant Colonel Bolgiano.
HealthVet.net is a national health center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We are continuing our discussion on U.S. fighting personnel and how they're being unfairly treated by the legal system for actually having the audacity to seek out and destroy the enemy. Now, Colonel, earlier in the last segment, you referenced First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence. What exactly is the situation in that case right now?
Sure. Lawrence was a newly appointed platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne Division, by the way, with an impeccable record of officer efficient reports. He's a Mustang, former NCO. And
he can't be all bad then, Colonel.
No, he sure can't. He's a great young man. I visited him out in Leavenworth, and he wants to come back in the Army. He has not lost faith. He's a wonderful young man. And he was out on a patrol in a hostile area, and three motorcyclists, all on one motorcycle, which was a standard technique and procedure of the enemy, approached his route of march and through a minefield. Now, the previous platoon leader, who got blown up in an IED attack himself, he wrote a three-page paper, and in it he said that these type of motorcycle attacks presented an imminent threat to his platoon. Now, fast forward to Clint's patrol, his second day of patrol, and he's out there. He's down in a grape berm. He cannot see these motorcyclists. However, one of his privates, a former police officer, recognizes the threat and attempts to engage with his rifle and misses. He then has communications with Lieutenant Lawrence, who orders his gun truck, a crew-served weapon, to fire on these subjects. And he ends up killing two of them and wounding a third. Now, the problem is that, first of all, in any competent understanding of responding to a hostile act or hostile intent, that is a lawful killing. And that's what Lawrence did, and he was found not guilty of violating the rules of engagement. So how in heaven's name could he be found guilty of murder? Now, the prosecution 33 times at trial referred to the decedents as either civilian casualties or village elders, when the government had in its possession biometric evidence that proved that these were not civilian casualties, rather unlawful enemy combatants who were direct participants in warfare. We could have killed them by their very status as unlawful enemy combatants under the rules of engagement. So whether Lawrence knew that or not is irrelevant. So that's point one. The second thing that we withheld from the defense was there was a significant activity report stating that Lawrence's platoon was being scouted for an impending ambush or attack, and at least one of those insurgents was later killed in action. That was never turned over to the defense. Thirdly, an aerostat, which is a nice term for a blimp or eye in the sky, an aerostat operator overseeing the area which Lawrence was operating stated that he observed three fighting-age males armed with AK-47 assault rifles and ICOM radios shadowing Lawrence's platoon on the morning in question. He made a written report and preserved the video footage, neither of which the prosecutors disclosed to the defense. So this is a slam-dunk self-defense under the standing rules of engagement case.
This is Marine vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, his imprisonment, his trial, with Lieutenant Colonel Bolbogiano. Now, Colonel, what do you see happening from this point on?
Sure. We are not, the defense team, we're filing the habeas corpus petition. We've already filed it. It's before a federal judge, and it's in the middle of free hearing disclosure right now and motions. That's track one. I think the more important track is the political track, asking the President of the United States to overturn the findings and sentence of the general court-martial. We're not asking for a pardon of Clint Lawrence, although that would be nice to get him out of jail. But a pardon does not restore him to active duty. It does not make him whole again. We're saying, Mr. President, as Commander-in-Chief, overturn the findings and sentence of that court-martial, restore Clint Lawrence to active duty, give him time and grade promotion in rank, and if they want to charge him again and give him a fair trial. Hmm. That's all we're asking. And what really bothers me is the media, it's astounding. I'll call it mainstream media or progressive media, whatever you like. They're in a high hover over this. Yet when Barack Obama pardoned Bradley Manning, a.k.a. Chelsea Manning, yeah, a traitor, they sat on their hands.
Yeah.
And now they're going after the president for seemingly doing the right thing here and are planning to do the right thing. And I hope he does. I hope he overturns the findings and sentence of Lawrence. But what's interesting, too, is these so-called experts that the mainstream media have on, like Gary Solis out of Georgetown, he just parrots the Army Court of Criminal Appeals opinion and says that it doesn't matter that Lawrence was not given this material in discovery because he didn't know that there are insurgents at the time he shot at them or he ordered them to be shot at. Well, that is so obtuse. It ignores human nature. It ignores how juries think. I guarantee you that if an 82nd Airborne Division panel or jury of combat veterans knew that the three dirtbags that Lawrence's platoon killed were enemy bomb makers, it would have been an acquittal. That's just human nature.
Yeah. Now, Colonel, when you talk about President Trump not just pardoning but overturning this so that the lieutenant can get back on duty and do his job, how much of a precedent is there for the commander-in-chief to do things like that?
This is an outlier. We recognize that. There's plenty, all the way back to the Civil War, tons of examples of presidents issuing a pardon for alleged wartime criminal activity. This case, however, rises above those miscarriages of justice, and this is an absolute violation of this young officer's constitutional rights, and he deserves another chance to serve. He wants to serve. I tell you, I would be bitter as heck sitting out in Leavenworth. Clint Lawrence is not. He's a prayerful young man. He's mature. He's a leader out there. He wants to come back on active duty, and we think, while extraordinary, we think that the President of the United States would get this and owes him a chance to serve this country again and have his record entirely cleared and be made whole again. For heaven's sake, we do that to motor vehicle accident victims. Mm-hmm. Ought we not do this to one of our own?
Yeah. But Colonel, is there anything that our listeners can do to help in this case?
Certainly. I would suggest strongly contact both their congressmen and senators and ask them to support the president overturning the findings and sentence of the court-martial as commander-in-chief, and also contact the president directly. The president listens. His communication staff listens. Contact media. Just really raise holy hell to get justice for this young man.
Well, Colonel, I think if any president has the guts to do the right thing, I think Donald Trump is one of them. So, boy, I hope this turns out the right way, and I really hope our listeners get involved and try and intercede on behalf of First Lieutenant Clinton Lawrence. Colonel Bolgiano, I want to thank you for your service to our country while on duty and well into civilian life. You are a great credit to our nation, so thank you for being on Front Lines of Freedom.
Thanks, Skip. God bless.
When we come back, we'll be speaking with a Michigan indoor gun range that prides itself in having a very special relationship with military veterans and their families. So stick with us until we return. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, now that you're better informed on the military legal system, drop down and give us 50 push-ups. Not the civilian kind either. Keep your body as straight as a plank and go straight down all the way down and slowly rise back up. Then relax, but do stay in the area.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards and consistently named the Citadel, the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Severe storms brought lots of rain, hail, and tornadoes to parts of the Ohio Valley, particularly around Dayton, killing at least one person. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine credits local media for warning residents and preventing mass casualties.
When something like this happens at night, it's even more frightening. But news media did a great job covering this, giving people, you know, whatever warning they could give.
The threat for tornadoes continues from Kansas and Missouri all the way to the East Coast, with 44 million people in 14 states that could be affected by tornadoes. The Supreme Court is siding with a lower court ruling regarding Indiana's abortion law. The High Court agreed with a lower court ruling that struck down part of the law that prohibited abortion because of gender, race, or disability of the fetus, such as Down syndrome. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a privilege to welcome to the show today some, I guess I'll call them gun nuts, because like Skip and I, they own and shoot and are good, safe gun owners, gun operators, know what they're doing, and even help other people become that. So, Skip, will you introduce our guests, and let's find out who they are and their backgrounds.
All right. Yeah. We have with us two people from Center Shot Indoor Gun Range in West Michigan, and we have Ron Miller, and then we have Paul Van Wagner. And I guess, Ron, we will start with you. Tell us who you are, all things Ron Miller.
All things.
That's scary, too.
Okay. I was in the U.S. Navy in 1969 to 1970. And my first, or 1968 to 72, excuse me. In 69 and 70, I was in Vietnam, Brown Water Navy, from north to south, doing supply and PBR repair. After that, I come home, become a carpenter, firefighter, after my tour in the Navy. And now I'm an instructor for Center Shot Gun Range and help teach people how to shoot guns.
And even do it safely, correctly, and appropriately, right?
To the best of my ability, yes.
You know, you can teach them how, but they got to want to, right?
Yes, they do.
All right, and Paul.
Oh, my name is Paul Van Wagner. I've been with Center Shot Gun Range since the breaking of the ground. I originally was pier out concrete guy, so we got the foundation in. And just tied into turning into the general manager of Center Shot Gun Range. And I am also a MCRGO NRA instructor, advanced. So that's sums up me quite a bit.
Well, my background started in construction, so it sounds like we've got something going here.
Ever since then, you've been building a marriage.
Something like that. I spent much of yesterday talking about pre-stressed concrete with a friend of mine. Anyway, so one of the things we all have together is we believe that being armed and trained is sort of important. Let's start with Center Shot. It was started, you're the general manager, it was just started as something that seemed to be appropriate, a good business, a good fit for the community, I presume?
Really, this got started with a couple beers in an office.
Oh, my.
just talking about everybody that was, everything was going wild with the firearms at the time, and something we never had in our area real close by, so threw together a blueprint, started tossing around. All of our buddies had electric experience, plumbing, concrete, masonry, and we threw everybody's heads together and started building a range. So,
okay, but obviously that took some money, it took a vision, and obviously somebody saw that it was a good business move for the community in Southern Kent County.
Yeah, that wasn't my part.
There were three young guys that were very successful in other businesses that they pooled their money together to build Center Shot.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And one of the things that I know, because I've been there and I've done the shooting, is that it's really, without being hyper fancy, it is more advanced than the average lineup shoot at a target X number of feet away. It's a good shooting range, and it's a step better than most of the ones I've been in. Is that, I take it that's part of the vision that the guys had when they started?
Yes, they definitely wanted to do the cleanest air in a gun range and the most advanced target system at the time. And the MANCOM targets at the time were the best advanced. We can do stationary targets from 5 feet to 75. Or there's a lot of programs on the wall that people can pick programs and actually pick them, so they've got the good guy, bad guy scenario with different time delays, and that the good guy is the back of the target and the bad guy is the front of the target.
Well, that's the realistic part if you're going to be not just a sportsman who shoots targets for fun or meat or shoots at animals for eating. If you're going to be into self-defense, that is more than just a little bit important. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing shooting at Center Shot Gun Range. A very interesting outfit. It's one that's a very good role model for businesses, for gun ranges around the nation, because I think you guys also take care of veterans there, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yep. Every veteran gets a 10% discount off anything in our store, including range time. So you come on in,
We actually do a try it before you buy it program. So if that gun's 10% discount already, you get an extra 10%. So as a veteran, you're going to receive a 20% discount off that firearm.
So that's firearms. Does it include shooting time and everything else?
Correct. Everything in the store to the range. Ammo, accessories, the range time. So, yeah, pretty much anything you can purchase at Center Shot, it's a 10% discount for all veterans.
Okay. One issue, how does the veteran identify himself to you as a veteran? Just taking word for it or need an ID card or what is it?
We have asked for ID cards before, but in all reality, if you tell me you're a veteran, I sure hope I can trust you, because anybody walking around this earth that can say they were, they can go home and go to bed themselves.
You know, that is, one, practical, and it's, two, quite honoring to veterans, indicating that their word is good. And will you be abused at times? Sure. But it's worth it, I think.
Yeah.
How did you guys decide to go ahead and honor veterans this way? Because, quite frankly, very few businesses do this for veterans. So what provided the impetus? Was it because you're a Vietnam combat vet, Ron, or was it something else?
From the very start, that's one thing that the three gentlemen that had the money to invest wanted to do, was honor the veterans. And we also have a fallen wall for members that have fallen veterans. They can have a picture of them, and it's put up on the wall. We've got the memorial fallen soldier painted on the wall. And then on another wall upstairs, we've got a shadow wall, which when you stand way back, you can see some from the Civil War to the present war shadows of combat veterans.
Wow.
I hope I'm never honored on your wall there, Ron. I mean, I love serving. I love fighting for my country. I just don't want to fall for my country, obviously.
Well, unless the country needs you.
Exactly.
And fortunately, at my age, at our age, the only time they'll send us overseas is if we're invaded. So that's safe. Wrap up for us. Somebody who wants to come to Center Shot and aren't particularly competent in handling a firearm, what would you do for them and how would you do it?
Oh, we love that. We work with people every day that have never shot a firearm. We start out with a short safety class in at the counter. We teach them the proper grip, proper sight alignment. And then when they go out into the range, well, the range safety officers go with them and help them and teach them how to shoot properly. And then after they're feeling comfortable, they know the moves of the gun, they're hitting the target the way they're supposed to, then we'll back off and just watch and let them finish the box of shells. People just absolutely love it and do a beautiful job. Our range safety officers do a fabulous job teaching people how to shoot.
I hope one of the things you teach them is that it's a perishable skill, that you got, you need to keep doing it.
Practice, practice, practice.
Like most important skills, if you don't keep it up, your mind will tell you you're still as good, but you won't be. Is that a safe statement?
That's a very safe statement.
Skip, got a final question before we wrap this thing
up? Yeah, I want to know, Ron and Paul, you can both answer this. What is your favorite carry gun? Start with Ron. You don't have to show it to me. Just tell me.
I like the SIG 938 for most of my general carry. Otherwise, I'll carry the Ruger LCR 38 Special.
My everyday carry at work's a M&P 9 Pro, and my concealed is a SIG P365, the new one that just come out. So,
all right, great, good guns.
Hey, these guys do know what they're talking about. Well, thank you, Ron, for joining us today. Paul, thank you for being here.
Thank you,
gents. I hope that listeners across the nation will be interested in picking up some of your technique and want to get in touch with you. What's a good way to do that? Your website?
Yep. You can go through our website, www.centershotgunrange.com. We just started a shop now online store also, so you can shop online through us.
So Center Shot Gun Range in Michigan. And if you lose that, hit me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. They're on my speed dial. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 10 at a time. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash and our MDD military division
are committed to supporting our military heroes and honoring those who have made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our nation.
At Spartan Ash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 155 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations on Memorial Day and throughout the year.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. We welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to us at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Roland, what's the first comment?
Well, Skip, Bill from Texas wrote, "Many young people do not understand the meaning Memorial Day, and sadly, do not care. I personally believe ending the draft added to the growth of socialism in our nation with so many young people."
Thank you, Bill. There is a growing belief in America, especially in our younger generation, that socialism is superior to the American way of life. Socialism has failed every time it's been tried, but you'd never know that by listening to the mainstream media and many of our more liberal politicians. This is a time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who is no longer with us. But the colonel has run out of veterans. If he doesn't receive some soon, we'll replace this segment. Please just take a few minutes right now and email the colonel. Honor the vets in your life who have served our country. Now it's time for military history. What's first, Roland?
On 28 May 1754, in the first engagement of the French and Indian War, a Virginia militia under 22-year-old Lieutenant Colonel George Washington defeated a French reconnaissance party in southern Pennsylvania. In a surprise attack, the Virginians killed 10 French soldiers, including the French commander, and took 21 prisoners. Only one of Washington's men was killed. The French and Indian War was the last and most important of a series of colonial conflicts between the British and the American colonists on one side, and the French and their broad network of Native American allies on the other. Fighting began in the spring of 1754, but Britain and France did not officially declare war against each other until May 1756 and the outbreak of the Seven-Year War in Europe.
You know, Roland, if I could go back in time, I think one of the people, my top five, I'd love to meet George Washington.
I think it'd be a really interesting dinner party, to say the least.
Okay. After the surrender of Charleston on May 12, the 3rd Virginia, commanded by Colonel Abraham Buford, was virtually the only organized Patriot formation remaining in South Carolina. British Colonel Bannister Tarleton had been given the mission to destroy any colonial resistance in the state. At Waxhaws, on the North Carolina border, a cavalry charge by Tarleton's men broke the 350 remaining Patriots under Buford. Tarleton and his Tories proceeded to shoot at the Patriots after their surrender, a move that spawned the term Tarleton's Quarter, which in the eyes of the Patriots meant a brutal death at the hands of a cowardly foe. The Continentals lost 113 killed and 203 captured in the Battle of Waxhaws. British losses totaled 19 men and 31 horses killed or wounded. Although they were routed, the loss became a propaganda victory for the Continentals. Wavering Carolina civilians, terrified of Tarleton and their loyalist neighbors, were now prepared to rally to the Patriot cause.
Then on 30 May, 1868, by proclamation of General John Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, major Memorial Day observance was held to honor those who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. Known to some as Declaration Day, mourners honored the Civil War dead by decorating their graves with flowers. By the late 19th century, many communities across the country had begun to celebrate Memorial Day, and after World War I, folks began to honor the dead of all of our wars. In 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday of May.
On 28 May 1917, first underway fueling in U.S. Navy history, USS Maumee fuels six destroyers in the North Atlantic. Lieutenant Commander Chester W. Nimitz served as Maumee's executive officer and chief engineer.
I think we've all heard Nimitz before, haven't we?
Yeah, he was a little higher up in the food chain, though.
Certainly more higher than me. On 28 May 1942, the rest of the Japanese forces directed at Midway set out. Admiral Yamamoto, commanding the operation overall, believes that if the plan to invade the island succeeded, the American fleet can be forced into a decisive engagement and that their defeat will force a truce before the American production can swamp the Japanese war effort.
On 28 May 1945, more than 100 Japanese planes are shot down near Okinawa. This is the last major effort against the Allied naval forces surrounding the island. One American destroyer is sunk in the otherwise unsuccessful airstrikes.
On May 27, 1965, augmenting the vital role now being played by U.S. aircraft carriers, whose planes participated in many raids over South and North Vietnam, warships from the 7th Fleet began to fire on Viet Cong targets in the central area of South Vietnam. At first, this gunfire was limited to 5-inch gun destroyers, but other ships would eventually be used in the mission. Organized into Task Group 70.8, the ships were assigned from the Fleet Cruisers Destroyer Command, from the carrier escort units and the amphibious units, and from the Navy Coast Guard Coastal Surveillance Force, and from the Royal Australian Navy. Ships and weapons included the battleship New Jersey with 16-inch guns, cruisers with 8-inch and 5-inch guns, destroyers with 5-inch guns, and inshore fire support ships and landing ships. Naval gunfire support and shore bombardment ranged the entire coast of Vietnam, but most of the operations took place off the coast of the northernmost region of South Vietnam, just south of the demilitarized zone. During the 1968 Tet Offensive, Task Force Group 70.8 had as many as 22 ships at one time on the gun line, offering invaluable naval gunfire support to ground forces.
You know, maybe they saved the colonel's life at one point. Who knows?
Never thought of that. Good point.
In May 1972, as part of Operation Linebacker, a 7th Fleet cruiser destroyer group bombarded targets near Haiphong and along the North Vietnam coast, firing over 111,000 rounds at the enemy. One destroyer was hit by a MiG bombing attack, and 16 ships were hit by communist shore batteries, but none were sunk.
And finally, on 28 May 1984, President Ronald Reagan led a state funeral at Arlington National Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknowns for an unidentified American soldier killed in Vietnam. The remains were unearthed in 1998 for DNA testing and possible identification. They were later identified as those of Air Force First Lieutenant Michael Blassie and were sent to St. Louis for hometown burial.
And that's military history for today.
Hey, Skip, it's time for our Armed America Report. What do you have?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Roland?
Recently in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a mob of 8 to 10 males welding hammers and iron bars descended upon bystanders at the East Bank Light Rail Station, injuring several, according to police. The incident was apparently reported to 911 just before 10 p.m. on Friday. A 9:48 p.m. Facebook post on the 2nd Precinct Minneapolis Crime Watch page said that the University of Minnesota police were requesting assistance from the Minneapolis police and Metro Transit police for a group of 8 to 10 males chasing people with hammers, and that some people were injured. A Facebook post a minute later on the Minneapolis Scanner page said that three police departments were responding to multiple 911 calls. About 10 to 12 Somali teen males armed with hammers chasing people, also with several injured reports.
After doing a little research, I discovered that all the attackers were of Somali descent and all were ages 12 to 15 years old. As a 61-year-old man, I find that disturbing. As a self-defense pistol instructor, I follow crime trends in America very closely, and I can tell you that young people are becoming more and more violent, and they are willing to attack grown adults on a regular basis. According to FBI crime stats, the person most likely to attack you is a male between the ages of 15 and 34. It appears that age is going down. When teens travel in packs, something called mob mentality kicks in. Teens feel stronger and less inhibited. It's a bit like a drug, where teens are willing to do things they wouldn't otherwise think of. What does this mean to us older folks? One, older adults can no longer expect to be treated with kindness and respect by many of the younger generation. You and I were raised to respect our elders. Older people were to be revered and honored simply by virtue of our life experiences and our wisdom. This is no longer the case. Two, older adults are now being singled out as victims, as easy targets to be preyed upon. Let's face it, we are no longer as strong and fast as we used to be. We can't fight them off physically as well as we used to. Three, we've come to the place in American life where older adults are not safe on the streets. Stay off the streets, especially at night, and travel with friends whenever possible. Always maintain a heightened state of awareness and stay out of high-crime neighborhoods. And four, the police cannot always be there to protect you. Many of my concealed carry students are in their 60s, 70s, and even 80s. Just because you're older doesn't mean you have to roll over and die at the hands of criminals. I highly suggest you develop a personal protection plan that works for you. Consider getting trained and armed with a pistol. If you still have decent eyesight and the strength to pull the trigger, then you don't have to be a victim. If you don't want to carry a gun, then consider pepper spray or a taser. Just make sure to research the laws of your jurisdiction before doing so. But here's the bottom line. This problem is getting worse, and with the breakdown of the family unit, the moral fabric of our nation will continue to decline. But you don't have to let yourself be a victim. Stand up and fight back.
Our movie of the month is The Day After Peace. Please go to Frontlines of Freedom's website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll be reviewing it at the end of the month, and we'd really appreciate receiving your input. Also, our book giveaway for this week is a signed copy of Skip Coriel's latest book, Concealed Carry for Christians. To get in on the drawing, send an email to denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Concealed Carry for Christians in the subject line.
Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll be discussing the future plans of several great like-minded organizations. Nate Anderson, the Senior Director of Concerned Veterans for America. Also, Captain Joe Johns from Combat Veterans for Congress. Then retired Colonel Doug Mastriano with the Uniformed Services League. And then Paula Lieberman from the Friends of the IDF will tell us about her trip to Germany with two Holocaust survivors.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, well, guess what? You're really lucky because they're all available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your family as you serve.
I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel.
And I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby.
Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on Frontlines of Freedom. Join us next week for military and veteran information you won't get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Republican Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky blocked the passage of a disaster aid bill on Tuesday, increasing the odds that lawmakers will have to wait until the full Congress is in session next week before the measure can be sent to President Trump. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine says the damage is devastating after tornadoes tore through the Buckeye State on Tuesday.
I want to come here today just to express to people our sympathy. We can't pretend to understand what they've been through, but we wanted to let them know that we care very, very much.
The EF3 tornado struck near Dayton last night, and at least one person is dead and several others were injured. President Trump is back in Washington, D.C. after his four-day visit to Japan, and celebrity attorney Michael Avenatti is pleading not guilty to stealing $300,000 from former client Stormy Daniels. He's free after posting $300,000 bond. This is USA Radio News.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission, in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road-tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians. And it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st. Come in today and take advantage of 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing offers available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Citi is cutting its forecast for Apple earnings. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
It's because of the Trump administration's trade war with China. Citi announcing it's lowered its Apple price target from $220 a share to $205. Citi says the ongoing tariff battles will hurt iPhone sales even more in the second half of the year. China represents 18% of Apple's sales, and Citi believes it could be cut in half. Citi says along with Apple losing market share because of the tariffs, the bank's research is showing that Chinese consumers are seeing the iPhone as increasingly less desirable as a brand image these days. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Louisiana House lawmakers are set to vote on a bill that would ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The bill, presented by a Democrat, does not outline any exceptions for victims of rape or incest. Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards has said he would sign the bill once it reaches his desk. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Oklahoma is the first state to go to trial in a lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies over their role in the nation's opioid addiction. Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter delivering remarks in court in Norman.
Your Honor, I believe the evidence will show that justice for Oklahomans means requiring these defendants to clean up the terrible, tragic mess that they have left us with in our state, whatever the cost.
A number of states have already reached settlements with drug makers who are accused of aggressively marketing the highly addictive painkillers and downplaying the risks to doctors and patients. James Holzhauer's Jeopardy! Winning streak is still going, and he's on track to surpass Ken Jennings' record earnings sometime in the month of June. Holzhauer on Monday won his 28th straight game and has career earnings on Jeopardy! Of just over $2.1 million. Now, there's been a lot of talk of getting a rematch between Jennings and Holzhauer. As far as that rematch goes, Jennings tells ABC's Good Morning America.
The thing is, it's been 15 years for me. We'll never know how Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron would have played at the same time because they were decades apart, you know, like, can I have my 2004 brain back if I play this guy? I think I could hold my own against him even today, but I would need some breaks. It would be all about who found the Daily Doubles. And usually on Jeopardy, I don't need a lot of breaks.
Please remember you can find us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republican Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky blocked the passage of a disaster aid bill on Tuesday, increasing the odds that lawmakers will have to wait until the full Congress is in session next week before the measure can be sent to President Trump. Ohio Republican Governor Mike DeWine says the damage is devastating after tornadoes tore through the Buckeye State on Tuesday.
I want to come here today just to express to people our sympathy. We can't pretend to understand what they've been through, but we wanted to let them know that we care very, very much.
The EF3 tornado struck near Dayton last night, and at least one person is dead and several others were injured. President Trump is back in Washington, D.C. after his four-day visit to Japan, and celebrity attorney Michael Avenatti is pleading not guilty to stealing $300,000 from former client Stormy Daniels. He's free after posting $300,000 bond. This is USA Radio News.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians. And it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 5 years, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st. Come in today and take advantage of 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing offers available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Citi is cutting its forecast for Apple earnings. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more.
It's because of the Trump administration's trade war with China. Citi announcing it's lowered its Apple price target from $220 a share to $205. Citi says the ongoing tariff battles will hurt iPhone sales even more in the second half of the year. China represents 18% of Apple's sales, and Citi believes it could be cut in half. Citi says along with Apple losing market share because of the tariffs, the bank's research is showing that Chinese consumers are seeing the iPhone as increasingly less desirable as a brand image these days. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Louisiana House lawmakers are set to vote on a bill that would ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The bill, presented by a Democrat, does not outline any exceptions for victims of rape or incest. Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards has said he would sign the bill once it reaches his desk. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Oklahoma is the first state to go to trial in a lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies over their role in the nation's opioid addiction. Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter delivering remarks in court in Norman.
Your Honor, I believe the evidence will show that justice for Oklahomans means requiring these defendants to clean up the terrible, tragic mess that they have left us with in our state.